Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for September 28th, 2020. It's the last week of... Is this the last week of September? It'll be October by the end of the week.
Yes.
One of the longest Septembers in human history, along with... Each day of September lasted an entire year.
Why do you say it's the longest one?
I don't know.
It has seemed like multiple bad things have happened.
It just feels September. Like...
It's like the September is like 2020 condensed into...
Yeah, but I thought that about October, August too, so...
Yeah.
I shouldn't really complain, I guess. That should be the lesson to me, is I should stop complaining.
Well, yes. You complain too much. It's really bothering me.
So, we could go on talking about that, or we could talk about the new Supreme Court Justice nominee.
That's the, like, okay, so I have to say, this is cutting against the everything in 2020 is horrible.
I want to just read this tweet, though,
okay,
before we do anything else.
All right.
Because this wins the internet. Alexandra De Sanctis said, "My favorite part of The Handmaid's Tale is when the main character packs her 7 kids and her husband into a minivan to drive them to her Supreme Court nomination ceremony."
That's, I love it. It really was
so fantastic.
It really is a brilliant nomination because the left is out there just consistently be clowning itself.
It's what should we go with? Should we go with the... Oh, yeah. Let's go with the adoption is wicked.
Yeah, but yeah. That's
we have
just
nothing
incredible.
Else.
If you don't know, I mean, some are saying that Amy Coney Barrett's adoption of 2 Haitian children, babies, I think they were babies when she adopted them, that's colonization. She was literally thinking in her mind, you know what, I want to take them out of their culture and make them white and change their and make them like, I want to call, this is my I know it's a small thing, but this is the most I can contribute to the great cause of colonization by adopting these 2 children and, you know, pouring money and love
into their little hearts.
Yeah. And thereby subverting their true self. It's, you know, it's really weird that, this is the last thing I'll say about it. But
really? I don't think that's true.
This is really weird that, you know, now segregation is good.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Mixed families now are bad. And
I'm not sure how we got here.
But it's the left now saying that, not the right.
I saw...
Not the racist right. I don't think the right ever, the true right never said that, but the racist.
I saw a great meme. It was like 2 guys in muscle shorts, a black man and a white man, like holding their arms up together. And it had like, one of them was David Duke or something. The other one was, I don't know, some known person right now. And they were like, you know, in solidarity.
Yeah, because they're saying the same things. Keep them separated, you know, keep the 2 races apart, which is just absurd.
It is weird to go backwards. So that was the thing. We don't have to talk about... We can't talk about that. I was interested in the very angry anti-women tweets that I came across always in the middle of the night about how, well, disappointment... it's too early in the morning and you didn't put any like actual tea in the pot of hot water that you gave me. So I'm behind times here trying to catch up my mind. The true feminism means, of course, being, killing any possible child you might've had, being, dependent on the state for literally everything.
Yeah.
Not believing in God, hating all men, and also not adopting, you know, children who are poor and needy and left by the wayside. That's what constitutes real
Christianity.
Feminism, right? Feminism now. This sort of dependent, wasting, exhausted, screeching femaleness is now feminism. That's what really shocked me. The other thing that really shocked me is that people, The Handmaid thing, I'm not going to read that book, but people think that because, you know, the scripture says, wives submit to your husbands, that that means that Mr. Barrett has to tell her how to vote and how to do her job. And
She literally can't make any decisions on her own.
Yeah, that's what they think it means.
Like, he's, like, writing out the grocery list for her. He's telling her what she can and cannot think about everything. And
that's really interesting because 15 minutes ago, people knew what that was about without becoming absolutely hysterical about it. Is it a failure of the church that no one knows what that means? Or what?
I know. I don't think so. I honestly think that it's the secular media is becoming itself. And I don't think, and by the word secular, I don't mean necessarily bad, because, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, I think the media was also secular, but they did their homework trying to figure out what Christians actually believe.
Yeah.
And
that's now, what's embarrassing.
And they're just mystified. They're like, what?
But they also don't want to know.
Yeah.
You know, that's just interesting. They don't want to know what people actually believe, because that would undermine the
narrative. I mean, it's kind of like you were talking during the election last election cycle in 2016, like the liberal guy from Manhattan, the liberal reporter from Manhattan, like taking a trip to, you know, Arkansas as if he's going to some Martian dystopian terror escape.
You can't. Yeah, I had to read that book. The book was called The Left Behind, and it was all about how evangelicals, quote, voted for Trump, which I've had to eat my words on that, because I guess they did. But still, his posture was so, you know, I can't believe these are even people eating their corn and their... going to their churches. And that you can read between the lines if you read that book, because the people he's interviewing actually sound totally normal, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them are Democrat,
right? I mean, so, some of them are the very people that Democrats claim to be the champions of, like, you know, the coal miners.
Yeah,
the actual labor class.
Yeah,
the blue collar
used to be a thing,
right? But they're stupid, so the left hates them.
No. Right? I know, so, you are.
I know we're supposed to be
our traditional voter, but
you're because you're transphobic.
Yeah. So,
because, you know, Joe, who works in the mines, doesn't also want to buy his son a pink dress.
Oh, this is off topic. Did you see some article, I didn't actually click on it. Gender equality parents raising their child to be gender neutral, frustrated that child only refuses to wear anything but pink.
It's a girl, right?
It's a girl.
Yeah, I saw it.
But they can't say.
And didn't they write like an advice column? Like,
what
did we do wrong?
Yeah. I gotta go back, I guess, and find it, because
it's
headline was pretty great.
It really is a bubble. I mean, it's even more of a bubble than it used to be. The elite leftist bubble in Manhattan or in LA or whatever. They can't conceive. And it's not that there hasn't always been a weird left, but the fact that they don't have any desire to do actual reporting and to know what people are thinking, it's almost self-defeat, it's suicidal, I think.
Yeah.
They're so inward focused that all they can do is pour contempt on the vast majority of the people they think they're trying to influence. And those people are not happy. I mean, this like they used to say back in 2016, 2017, this is how you get Trump.
Yeah, I do feel like, well, and Trump is such a consummate troll. Like, somehow he knows. I don't know how he knows, he knows. Just tweeting Law and Order every now and then. And my question was, did the Trump whatever team decide that they wanted to take the trolling all the way to the end? Because ACB did usher her children into the minivan, and then she got in the driver's seat to drive. And I thought, like, that is so epic. They must have thought that through. They must have been like, you know, we're going to go all the way here, guys. We're going to, like...
Yeah.
Because... Anyway.
I mean, you could hear feminist heads exploding.
I think it might be helpful to... I know we keep saying it, but I think Christians in this crazy, crazy time even are confused about what it means for a man to be the head of something. Like, that's not The Handmaid's Tale. I know I'm saying something like epically insane here and no one knows what I mean, but Christianity is not The Handmaid's Tale. Like, I would suggest The Handmaid's Tale is having a woman so subservient to the state, and having to kill her children in order to have any worth or purpose is actually The Handmaid's Tale. That's not what Christianity is. Like, men in Christianity are there to make it so that women thrive.
That's the whole point of male headship, is the sacrifice of the male head, like Jesus did. Like, that's literally the model. That's in that secret cult book.
And that means, like, the woman is expected to do stuff that's interesting and have a mind. Am I out of bounds here? I mean, I did enjoy a lot of the complimentary and people who are like, who love her. They love her. But there was one that was like, this isn't actually optimal. It should be all male court judges, but...
She's a good judge, so...
In such a time as this, because it's totally fine.
Well, no, he made the Barack, Deborah...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
...thing.
I don't know.
True. I mean, Deborah should not have been a judge. The reason she was a judge is because...
I mean, she's...
Is because the men of Israel were abdicating their responsibility, but...
She says that. This is not the nation state of Israel. It says it in the text, but this is not the nation state of Israel. And just because, like, they were failing doesn't mean that I, as a female person, biologically female person, can't use my mind to do some stuff or drive a car.
I mean...
Or even vote.
We've...
Like, since my country allows me as a biologically female person being to vote, it's actually fine for me to go do that.
And I, if I commanded you who to vote
for? Well, you've tried.
I've tried.
But as we're heading off to the polls, you're like, now.
This is the, but we basically agree on things. But the.
Yeah, but even if we didn't. Yeah. Like, it's fine. We can each go to the polls and vote.
Yeah. It's interesting. You do think, it's clear that they don't have any, like, the people who write these kinds of articles don't have any genuine relationship with anybody who disagrees with them. That's why it's also kind of really sick and unhealthy.
Well, they've been told by the New York Times that if anybody in their family votes for Trump, they should cut that person off. And some of them are. Many of them on Twitter are literally doing that right now. Like, phoning Aunt Mabel and being like, I saw the Trump sign in your yard and I'm never speaking to you again. You're dead to me. Which is, this is awesome. Because Aunt Mabel's saying, like,
wait, what?
Yeah, okay. You go your way. You go.
I love the tweet that I saw this morning, just speaking of,
I think I'm just going through Twitter here and saying some commenting on the news.
The tweet that I saw this morning that was just odd. The press, it wasn't odd. It's just consistent with what we've been saying. Is this one that's by Adam I'm sorry, I got off my onto the wrong. Okay, yes, by Adam Rinn. And just think of this as kind of a Breathless. Amy Coney Barrett was a trustee at a South Bend private school that described, quote, homosexual acts, unquote, as, quote, at odds with scripture, unquote, and said marriage is between, quote, one man and one woman, unquote, years after Obergefell and Hodges.
Wait.
I mean, literally years.
I mean, is it like 3 years or how many years are we?
It's 2015 when Obergefell, and that's the decision.
Okay, so 5 years.
Marriage is no longer between a man and a woman. It's between whoever wants to get married, whatever. I mean, in literally years, she used to hold to her secret cult book. I mean, what does that say? So apparently, I'm just trying to put myself in the, what kind of presuppositions do you have to make a tweet like that? So apparently...
Well, that person doesn't know anyone at all who believes in traditional marriage.
Right.
At all.
Well, he doesn't know any Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about just basic... This is basic Christianity. This is essential, basic stuff. But then secondly, it seems to think that, you know, okay, when the Supreme Court rules that everybody... just has to change their whatever their moral beliefs are. It has to change, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, oh, okay. Well, I had believed that homosexual acts were wrong, but now the Supreme Court has ruled. Well, you know, I guess
waiting for the Supreme Court to tell me what the Bible said.
I mean, I don't. I think this is so. If the law says you should kill your babies, you should morally line yourself up with that. Idea. I mean, how many years has it been since Roe v. Wade, and you still think that that abortion is wrong? What's wrong with you?
It's like, and you're it's been one generation for Roe v. Wade, isn't it? A generation 40 years.
Yeah.
What year was it?
It's
73.
Right.
Oh, I always get it mixed up with the prayer book because the prayer book came out.
Yeah, so was 79.
They're kind of anyway. That's one generation. So
he's mystified that she continues to hold to her religious beliefs despite the Supreme Court ruling. I can't understand that. I mean, because, you know, switch it around. If the Supreme Court were to outlaw Roe v. Wade, would the left then say, oh, well, we were wrong all these years about it?
Well, I look forward to them doing that because he just said, he just said so.
Right,
should go ahead and restore marriage and the rights of the unborn. And then the left will line up. And also, when, you know, the election is over, everyone will accept whoever is.
That's another weird. I mean, okay, so I read the article where Trump said something like he doesn't know what will happen if the election.
They asked him, "Are you going to give over power?" And Trump, the consummate troll, was like, "Well, we're going to see what happens."
Well,
is
consistent with everything the left has said.
Yeah, they're allowed to say it
because they're going to if. No matter who wins this thing, voter fraud. Everyone's going to say voter fraud. And so no one, and in fact, you know, I think, was it Hillary Clinton who said to advise Biden, no matter, you don't ever, if you lose, don't concede. Don't ever concede. So this is both sides who are saying this, and it wasn't Trump saying he's going to be a dictator and get the military to support his junta and become like some developing country dictator. He was just saying that
it
depends on the fairness of the ballot. Right?
Yeah.
And that's happened before, 2001.
I know. Oh, my word.
The hanging chads.
That was a horrible year.
Yeah. I fully expect it to happen. I mean, this is 2020. This is going to happen.
It's going to be awful.
We're going to have a recount after recount after recount after recount. But anyway, I have to say, even though I did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016, that had I done so on the basis of his pro-life promises, I would feel as if I had not wasted my vote. Because I did it in 2018 because, you know, his track record of honesty, it was not
Very poor.
It was poor. So I thought, okay, I'm not going to believe this guy. But, you know, he's, of all the presidents we've had, he's actually been the most pro-life president that I can think of.
Yeah.
I don't think even Bush was.
I said in 2000, whatever, when he was running, and I thought it was insane, and I thought that God was trolling the world, which I still kind of think. Not kind of. I really think that God is. This is God being a troll. That it would be really. That it would be really funny if, Trump ended up doing a lot of things that Republicans had refused to do, over many many years, and ended up being sort of more conservative than. And I feel like my words, even though they are spoken by a biologically female. Person creature with no rights did turn out to be prescient. I know I feel a little weird, like the left doesn't want me to speak now because I don't agree with them. So it used to be that I could be a person, but now that I, you know, it with the end of the world and ACB, they sound hysterical. It's really interesting. It's the tenor of it. It's like this hysteria, as if they're all Victorian.
Well, I do think that Amy Barrett does explode a lot of the myths of feminism, that you can't have many kids and be a successful person. That
you have to choose.
Traditional Christian values always make the woman a slave.
Yeah.
The those who are Christian women are usually stupid. I mean, everything that the left kind of says in caricature about the right or about the Christian conservative is now being just publicly exploded. So there's a hysteria about that, I think. And I mean, of course, I mean, the biggest cause of the hysteria is there's a truck.
No, good.
The biggest cause of the hysteria is that if she's confirmed, which, you know, she's going to be confirmed before the election, even Mitt Romney said he's going to support her.
Right, because if they don't, they hate women.
Right,
you know, like
right. So when
it's a catch 22.
When she, yeah, they have even the liberal Republicans have to kind of man.
It's really loud today.
The brakes were just screeching. This is Roe v. Wade. I mean, now you have a court made up of mostly originalists. Now I know that they've proved to be unreliable. I get that. But this is, we're coming toward the brink where there is a real possibility of some state laws that are passed outlawing abortion might be, or at least restricting it so severely that it ceases to be a thing, might actually go make it through the Supreme Court now in a way that they wouldn't probably before. I mean, this is an actual flip of a seat. It's not just a liberal, you know, a conservative dying and a conservative being appointed. This is a liberal dying and a conservative being appointed. So the numbers shift radically. And so I think that's fueling the hysteria there. Is that they could actually lose some of their rights to murder babies. And, you know, I said, who said it? Abortion is the sacrament of the left.
I mean, everybody says it.
Yeah.
They have, yeah.
It's the supreme expression of the false gospel itself. It's you know, and that's what that's the left is built on, that truth is found within subjectively. There's no external out. Absolute. Spiritual truth. There's some absolute social truths, but not
right that
not,
are essential and unchangeable.
Right. But nothing that is beyond the self, and the truth that the woman is her life and her ability to get a job and her ability to go to college is the supreme and you know, be successful is the supreme good to which all things must be sacrificed, even human beings. That the self is the greatest God, and so any other self that gets in the way is rightly sacrificed. It's a Molech cult. It's the same thing that's going on in you know, the ancient Near East, where, hey, you want good crops? You want
somebody has to die.
Somebody has to die, and that, so just take the baby. The higher the sacrifice, the more, you know, the more chance that Moloch's going to hear you. So just, you know, murder your baby. It's all about you. You do you. In the ancient Near East. And you do you now is murdering babies. Same way. Same God, just different.
Well, now guys. It's not out in the street. It's in horrible cement buildings.
Yeah.
With chaplains attached.
Yeah. Yeah, the priestesses. Priests and priestesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You really... You've said all the things.
I do that sometimes. So anyway, it's. I think this is great because we might have the opportunity to roll stuff back from it. And if this happens, you know, this really justifies it. It justifies the years and years and years of work within conservative circles to get
to fight about this single issue.
The judges
endlessly and forever. I think that there's a wearing, there has been over the last many years a real weariness about this issue. You know, it's where Christians begin to say, well, I don't want to be a single issue voter. I don't want to, I'm tired of this. There's so many other more important things on the dock. We should expand the definition of pro-life so that it means, you know, everything.
So it means basically what the left says it means, which is human flourishing.
Yeah. But I don't know. This is shockingly reinvigorating to someone like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, it is.
I didn't think it would happen. I didn't, and it's amazing that it would happen this year. I think, of course.
And, you know, and it's kind of juxtaposing that against, like, the kind of liberal evangelical, well, you can vote for Biden, you can vote for a pro-death candidate, and because other aspects of life mitigate against his pro-death stance. So because he has policies that will help the poor, you can vote for him, even though he wants to murder.
Even though I don't think that his policies would actually help the poor.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, it's the unspoken but also undiminished assumption is that the policies of the left are the best policies for the poor. Whereas I don't think that's clear. I think Thomas Sowell's work on the family, the black family, demonstrates that to be an absolute lie. That's not going to help anybody.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm a political conservative is because I do actually care about the poor. I mean, and I just wanted people to know that too, though. It's important that I say this out loud. I do care for the poor and for the downtrodden. That was another great tweet. Somebody said, we can give her adoption, ACB, as long as she doesn't do anything to help the widows.
That's good.
And so,
yeah.
Sorry, I just had to throw that one in there. I mean, I think that women's lives and children's lives matter. That's maybe what. Can we have signs that say that? Female lives matter. I know our neighborhood is full of Black Lives Matter signs. And those creedal statements just stuck to the brim of, in this house, we believe that women's rights are human rights. And you know what? That's not true. Women's rights are not human rights in this.
Right.
Only certain women's rights are human rights and not. I saw that too, that there's a class, you know. Okay, a lot of people celebrate that ACB would have 7 children, 2 of them adopted. There are a lot of people around here in this neighborhood, or well, 1-2 blocks over, that have 7 children. by many different fathers. All of those fathers are allowed to take off. Our dog is like licking the microphone. That tastes good. Now he's breathing into it heavily.
So this is not any of us. This is the,
he's like, he had a bath, but he's still, he's looking at you like,
yeah.
He's really into the microphone thing here. So the sort of race and class issues of, you know, those women who have a lot of, the man doesn't have to stick around. But, and then, you know, women have babies, women around here who have lots of children and who actually like children. You know, no, the state has told them they don't have to get married. And but I would say women, by and large, really like the children that they have. But they are always being told that it would be better if all those children died. You know?
Yeah.
And that.
Well, there's, did you see the picture of the black baby on, in a Canadian, kiosk?
It'd be better if I had no sibling or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, essentially kill, if you get pregnant again, kill my brother.
Like we're Chinese.
Yeah.
We're in this communist state of China.
Right. So I mean, Timothy Keller came out with this tweet about how, you know, we all agree that poverty is bad, and so, but there are different policies for eradicating poverty. We all agree that that abortion is bad, but there are different ways of alleviating it. So it's okay for a Christian to vote for a Democrat who might change conditions so that there are less abortions. I mean, there's a lot of problems with that. The first one is that, yes, it's true that both Republicans and Democrats think they have policies to help the poor. And I think the Christian should vote for the one or support, you know, whatever policy will do the best at that. However, the abortion question is a very different category. There is one party that doesn't want to help the babies. There's one party that doesn't care about the babies, that actually wants to slaughter them. The more baby slaughter for this party, the better. So just assuming, and it's a big assumption, that their policies might do something to help poor people, they are actively going to go try to facilitate laws and structures that will kill more people. So I don't think you can. It's not just a pragmatic question here. There's a big idea out there that your vote is this. Especially the people are trying to make the argument that you can vote for a baby murdering candidate, that it's a pragmatic question, that, you know, which one will do the best. And it's not just a pragmatic question. Your vote is an act of governance. You are acting in our system. You are one of the rulers. And so with that responsibility on your shoulders, you can't go to the polls and vote for somebody who has said, I am going to make it possible for more babies to be slaughtered. And the baby slaughter is great. Not only baby slaughter in the womb, but the baby slaughter out of the womb. That's a wicked act of governance. So I don't think a Christian can, and of course they will, but I don't think a Christian can and do that, make that kind of vote without sinning.
Yes. Well,
you look at me like I'm like stunned when I say
no, that. I'm not stunned. That was stunning and brave.
Oh,
the thing that you just said is stunning and brave.
That's what I thought. I felt like I was going to say.
I guess the visceral sense of abortion being really ugly has gone away, you know, I think.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that happened, because.
Well, I think it's fatigue. It's like exhausting fatigue and being told by one party that they're going to deal with it for years and years and years, and then when they do have opportunities to deal with it, they don't do it. When they could defund Planned Parenthood, they decide they're not going to. When they could do something for 40 years, they don't. So I think people get tired and they lose the sort of shifting moral ground that, well, maybe women really do suffer when they have to give birth to a child that they don't want. maybe that really is suffering. Maybe that really is cruel. I think people have bought into that, that idea. Whereas I would say that the reason I think this is from Solomon, when the two prostitutes come to him and they've had a child and one of the children has died. Look at the way that goes down. Look at the women in that situation, and what they want as opposed to what any woman in this culture wants. I think if it had been 2020, Solomon would have said, "You're right, I'm going to kill the other child. Neither of you women need a child because you should just be able to go back and you should be able to keep being prostitutes and enacting your own sexuality and being a liberated woman," which is really funny because that's not liberation. Prostitution is like the opposite of that. But anyway, sex worker, right. Yeah, Nadia Boltz-Weber with her, like, ethical porn, ethical sex working. No, that's always an enslavement, and no one should pay any money for it. Anyway, what the women in that situation want, well, the one woman steals the other woman's child because she wants a child. Both women want a child desperately. One, because if they had a child, maybe they could eventually get out of it and have this network of support that every person needed in the ancient world. But also, and here's the key, babies are a consolation from God. And when they come into a terrible and dark circumstance like rape or prostitution or just sleeping around or being taken advantage of or whatever, you were just foolish or whatever, you were in college and you got pregnant and it was a mess. In the middle of that, the baby itself is a consolation to you. It's a redemptive gift that God gives, even when you didn't deserve it, even when it causes you pain. It's a tiny picture of redemption because the babies are consoling. No matter how grieved and unhappy you are, if you have the chance to hold a baby and it's your own baby, that is such a deep consolation that no words or no, there's no description of that,
right?
The depth of that. And
but feminism is trying to cut that, right? So you just did, they think that's a...
The lie is that you won't be whole if you accept that gift. You won't be a person. Your humanity will be diminished if the personhood of the child goes ahead of you. Such a deep and terrible lie. It has undermined this entire culture. This is why we have rioting and ugliness and corruption, and because we have bought this lie, and in order to continue to swallow it down, we have had to break many, many other things. We've had to break marriage. We've had to break everything in service of this lie. So, yeah, if you want to know why we're at the breaking point and the people are talking about civil war, it's because in order to swallow this, we've had to basically keep eating poison for one generation.
Yeah. And, you know, you'd have to say, I think 10 years ago, you'd have to go to the extreme wings of the left to find this kind of thing, right? There is still maybe 20 years ago, remember Bill Clinton? Let's make abortion safe, rare, and
legal, and rare.
Right? There was kind of even a broad disagreement that it's a bad thing. Like, we shouldn't do it. The question is whether it should be legal or not, but not whether it was a bad thing. Both sides kind of said, "Yeah, it's a last resort, right?"
Yeah.
But now, no, it's not a last resort. It's you. Oh, it's a form of birth control, really.
Yeah.
And that puts it up there with a condom or something as something another step. If your first line of birth control doesn't work, we just do this.
You have a second one.
Yeah. So the radical has become the norm.
Yeah.
Both within feminism and just the Marxist view of society that the left had in its far out wings has now become center.
Yeah.
To where you can actually say legitimately in public in a major, you can be the best selling author on race right now, Ibram Kendi, and say that adopting a black child is an act of colonialization.
Hatred of black bodies. It's just. And when people push back on that, then other people are you know, outraged that you would dare to question.
Right.
Don't question me.
Right. I should go back and say because we're not going to have a long one today, but I should say, of course, saying that I don't think Christians should vote for pro-death candidates of either party, not just Democrat. If you have there are Republicans who are pro-death. Mitt Romney is pro-death.
So much death.
Up to the point. So I don't think the Christians should vote for any part of the candidate. That's not to say that they should necessarily vote for the other guy, right? So I'm not saying you have to vote for Trump. Third-party candidates are out there. So, but I am saying I don't think that Christians should. I think it's a sin to vote for a pro-death candidate. And I think the biblical ground for that is Romans 13. You're acting as a ruler, and you're actually, instead of punishing the wicked and rewarding the righteous or the good, you're doing the opposite. You're actually rewarding wickedness and you're supporting wickedness and.
I just think it's funny. This is why I think God is a troll. That the person that everyone hates so much, Donald Trump, would be the person who would get this appointment too. Like, there's a little bit of sovereignty of God floating in here. Again, people were Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying now, which is, oh my word, so stressful. Right at the, I think God is putting this before our face.
Oh yeah,
too. God, I think it's
he's really the one who
funny.
Takes life or gives it. So,
yeah,
it's his decision when she was going to die, and that's
so.
What was it that this is probably going to have to be something we can't prioritize to go into it? But Jim Hatmaker, what did she say about Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
She was weeping and gnashing her teeth. Somebody else was saying, "Why did you have to? You just had to wait until 2021."
Yeah.
There were a lot of eulogies,
and by Christians. Her quote unquote Christians. Jen Hatmaker essentially sainted her. So, she's a well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah. Right? And then Anne Lamott did this tweet, like, God came by and told me that RBG is settling in nicely and she's meeting up with, and there was a list of other names.
Molly Ivins, the former Texas columnist who is very much in favor of killing babies, and then Ann Richards, the former Texas governor, who is very much in favor of killing babies.
And she's settling nicely. She's gonna hit the gym soon or something like that. Like,
and they're having a meeting, like, for lunch to talk about how to move the movement forward, like in heaven. Like, God's God's there.
It's not enough just to die on Earth.
It's a meeting of these how do we murder more babies ladies in heaven. I'm sorry. That's a hell meeting.
Just sounds like not what I'm hoping for in the afterlife, but
or not what's going to be there either.
It's interesting that that's what they would want, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jen Hatmaker, of course, has lost all credibility, but so is Anne Lamott. I mean, she's just,
it's brilliant writing gone bad. Yeah. It's really tragic. I did want to say on an up note that I'm reading a book. That I just can't recommend enough. I'm only into chapter, I'm just starting chapter 3, but it's Elisa Childers, Another Gospel. And The foreword is by Lee Strobel. And I wish that we had had this book when all of the Episcopal stuff broke out. It's basically, she's warning off all of evangelicalism about what happened to our denomination. And if you are confused and think that it's no big deal, you should read this book. Everyone should read this book. It's so good. It's really well written. And I was already a fangirl. But I feel like...
I won't read it. Suggested actually going through that.
I just think it's super interesting. So it's really well... she's laying out really clearly and kindly, I think, the issues of progressive Christianity and how it is not true Christianity.
And so, how it's infiltrating not just the main lines, but in evangelical.
Yeah, no, it's not like your boring Presbyterian mainline church. This is your big band church down the road with a great, young preacher. And it's called something non-denominational or corner or whatever. And it might be Southern Baptist. Aren't all non-denominational churches just Southern Baptist? Anyway, it's coming for you. So this is really good. It comes out, you can pre-order it, but it comes out soon, and I don't think you would be disappointed if you got it, whoever you are, you listener. So now I have to go back to the Enneagram, so we'll be back next week, I bet, unless the world is burned down. But thanks for listening.